invite you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 15, the Gospel of John chapter 15. Went through all that series of messages about all things pertaining to the grape, and this is a passage that was kind of lingering, certainly one that we don't want to pass by. It's a favorite passage of mine. When we've had trial and trouble and difficulty, you that have been members here for the time that I've been pastor here, you maybe remember that I have gone to this passage several times so we might be encouraged, that we might be helped in the difficulties and the things that we've had to deal with. And don't want to depart that subject of the grape in the scripture without touching on this passage, because it is related to the subject. I didn't include it in the body of the group of messages, but certainly we don't want to leave it behind. Our Lord is the great shepherd, and he gives that that parabolistic understanding of his work amongst us as we took a walk through the scriptures here this morning. He uses this of the vine to describe himself too. And these pictures help us to understand relationship to him and how things work and how we need him. We can go out to a vine, to a grapevine, and we can see how it's all put together, how the Lord's designed it. Without the root and without the vine, you're not going to have the branches. Without the branches, you're not going to have a place for the fruit to go. There's not going to be nourishment that's going to be transmitted. All those kind of things, we can understand that. And the Lord takes that picture of something that you and I see and know about in life and explains to us about how it is in our relationship with him, his relationship with us. And so so let us just delve into this and take a look here at it. And I pray that we might be helped and encouraged by it and encouraged in our time here together and in this week. Lord Jesus says these passages here, John 14, John 13 tells about the Passover and the Lord washing the disciples' feet and such. And so the end of chapter 13 and chapter 14, 15, 16, we have this between the garden and Gethsemane is what I call it. The Lord speaking to his disciples and teaching them, instructing them, preparing them, helping them. And the content is indeed rich. And so that's where we are time-wise, is between the upper room and Gethsemane. I am the true vine. There might be vines that aren't true. We're given a warning to that. And the Lord, he says he's the true vine. He's the vine that matters. We know by our Lord that he is the one that is eternal and lasts forever. And another vine is not something we want to be a part of, but he's the true vine. From the standpoint of the Father, when the Father looks on, does the Father see any other vine? No, none other but his Son. He's the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So we see about God the Father being the one that's going around and pruning, cultivating, deciding. I think we've referenced that in months, in the last several months, about the work, the production of a garden or an orchard or a vineyard is a testimony to the faithfulness and the work of the husbandman, isn't it? A picture in the scripture talks about a vineyard that is all grown up, nettles, thorns, and gone wild and all that. Well, it's the husbandman didn't do a good job, did he? But a vineyard that's doing well, healthy, taken care of right, the fruit is harvested at the right time, the care for the nourishment of it. The husbandman's testimony is the production of his work. So he says, Jesus says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So right off the bat, when the Lord comes and he starts talking about us, he's the vine, the Father's the husbandman. When he starts talking about us, what's the first thing he mentions? About our production. About our fruit. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. He's not going to allow any encumbering of the vine. The goal is to produce fruit. The vine will never be cut away or taken away in this picture that we have, but the branches could be. And fruit. Our Lord Jesus tells us in the Gospels that by fruit, you and I and the wicked will be known by what we produce. We find out here that fruit is the indicator of our spiritual well-being and pursuit. Fruit. Number one on the list for the branches. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, so now we've got branches bearing fruit. Because see, maybe a way to look at this is about life. What is it that Scripture says about us? In the Lord Jesus Christ, we live and move and have our being. In Colossians, the Lord tells us that by Jesus, he created the worlds. Jesus created everything. And we exist. The creation exists for him and by him. And by him, all things consist. He holds it all together. So every person in the world is alive because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's doing and done. But then when we come to this vine, branches that don't bear fruit are taken away. Branches that do bear fruit, he purgeth it. And that's another word. We don't use it. But one aspect of purging is to get the fruit off of it. Because when the fruit is mature, there's no sense for it to stay there, that it might continue to rob nourishment. You might allow the fruit to be on there and to where to get to the point, especially if you're having a lot of rain, it would start busting. Y'all remember that out here some years ago when the blackberries were so, so plump and we had a lot of rain. I mean, they were just busting up on the vine and actually were beginning to ferment. You remember we had some blackberry cobbler that got started off with some fermented blackberries. Not at all cooked off when the cobbler got cooked. But you just, there's no sense in leaving it on there when it keeps on drawing. Because you get the fruit off of there, then more fruit can come on. But then there's another sense of purging where it needs to be pruned. You got to prune it. Got to prune it away. And so that the husbandman is doing that. Branches that bring forth fruit are tended to by the husbandman. Praise the Lord that there is a husbandman that cares about us, that knows what's best. The branch doesn't ever say, hey, I need a little tendon here, need to be cut back, need to get these grapes off of here. No, the husband knows what to do, you know, and we can rest real good in that. I know it doesn't follow along with the picture, but would we ever be found? God help us. Lord, may the Lord help us that we wouldn't be found resting, twisting, bucking against the husbandman, eh? Amen? It's no good. The husbandman knows what he's doing. We take this and think about trial. Well, tempted and tested. And James, in the book of James, there in the first chapter, it talks about testing of the Lord, of his children. If you're a child of God, you and I being children of God, we are going to be tested. It's just going to be that way. Will we take what we've been taught and what we've learned up to this point and put it to use, or will we just run in circles, scream and shout, and seek our own way? Now, we're going to be tested. We're also going to be tempted, too. I mentioned that to you Wednesday. Lead us, the Lord Jesus in the model prayer says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Satan is the tempter of the saints. We have our own flesh by which we can be tempted by, and it can get fed by things from the outside, the eye gate, the ear gate. The Lord can use those around us, the unsaved, to tempt us. It can be that way. We need to know that. That I think that we can understand that the Lord brings things, tests, allows temptation. What's the goal? That it may bring forth more fruit. Think about Brother Job. We look at that from the standpoint of a man. Brother Job gives us a clear picture and understanding of great, great temptation. His wife told him, curse God and die. Get it over with. He said, no. The Lord has been good and he continues to be good. I don't know why this is going on. And he makes his pleas. He may has his desire to bring his petition before the Lord. But you know what? Job, in the end of that, he was brought yet to another plane, wasn't he, in his walk with the Lord. Brother Jim, I don't think this purging thing is such a good thing. That kind of sounds like that's going to hurt. Well, to the flesh, it very well may. But remember, is the husbandman experimenting? No, the husbandman knows what to do. I tell you what, we rest in that. He goes on to say, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You ever feel dirty? Unpure? I'll tell you what, the word is a great washer of the saints, isn't it? The word spoken by our Lord is indeed the word that we need. And I made mention of that today, how we need to take the word of God. Brother Mark's lesson this morning was great to get us to understand not only the detail of the subject that he brought out, but just that practical thing of taking this and putting it on our lives, putting it on our families, putting it on our church, that we might have understanding what to do and how to go forward. Not we've got this religious thing that we learn about what this book says and then we just go over here and do whatever we think is best to do. No, we take this book and we learn it and we put it on the decisions and the affairs of life all that we can. And where we don't understand and where we don't see, we go to the Lord asking for help that we might do so. John tells us in 1 John, the first chapter, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's to the children of God. He cleans us up through his word. Have bad thoughts. Have besetting sins. Have things that trouble you. Won't be able to get away from those things by sheer grit, will, and determination. Oh, yeah, we can resist physically. But I'm talking about where that beginning of sin is, beginning of our fault and the things that we ultimately do. It starts in the heart, in the factory of sin. How can we displace that? We can't shove it away. We've got to displace it by the Word of God, the cleansing effect of the Word of God. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you, and indeed our Lord has spoken it. We need to know that. What's he say? He says, let's get down to where you live. Abide in me. Abide. That word abide is, again, it's not a word that we use often. I relate it most to our abode. You've heard me say that before. You live in your house. Or wherever it is you live. Some maybe live in an apartment or a condo or something like that. Jesus says, live in me. Be near me. That word abide is talking about closeness. In the vernacular here in southwestern Kentucky, that word can be used to say that you put up with. You abide by it. Well, I didn't want to abide by that, but I did. The Lord says, abide in me, and I in you. No closer unity than that, our Lord living within us. Our desiring, our desiring, our personal desire to live in me, live in him. He in us, by virtue of salvation, the Spirit of God living within. He said, it's just like as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. So the branch is expected to bear fruit to the honor and glory and praise of the husbandman. And a branch cannot go their own way and make fruit. Can't do it. God has no root, has no ability for nourishment, has no sense to understand what even is right or wrong. Needs the vine, needs the husbandman. Listen to what he says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. You've got to have me. And we need to remember that. And the thing is our fruit needs to be vine-oriented and vine-centered, doesn't it? We can have things that we think are fruit, but what does the Lord say about the fruit? Because that's what counts. As a child of God, that's how you and I will be judged. Not what we think is fruit, but what the Lord says is fruit. Where are we living? Who's living within us? We remember the passages that speak to us about the quenching of the Spirit of God. If we don't abide in the Lord, we quench the Spirit. We can. We can grieve the Spirit of God, can't we? Now, that's not healthy. It's not good. It happens with us. We do. When we know it, when we realize it, when we're shown it, we need to ask the Lord to forgive us of it. And what do we need to do? We need to abide in him. And he in us. Work in me, Lord. Help me. Help me to do not what I want to do, but what you want me to do. Isn't that what Jesus prayed? We saw that here recently as the Lord in the garden. He said, not my will, but thine be done. That's our example. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye. He said, it's definite. You cannot bear this fruit, this vine, husbandman-oriented fruit, except you abide in me. I am the vine, verse 5, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Want to be successful in the work of the Lord? Understand, success measured by the world is, that's not the gauge. The Lord's got a different gauge. He's got a different economy. And it all is from what he has said and what is eternally important. He says, abide in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Do you want to glorify the husbandman greatly? Abide in the Lord and seek for him to abide in you. Now, understand, that's along the line of what we say, be filled with the Spirit. There's can be a misunderstanding about that. I heard it when I was younger. It said, well, we can be filled no more with the Spirit than we are at salvation. Well, from the standpoint of the salvation of the soul, when the strong man comes in and lives, the strong man is at hand. That's how we are eternally saved, because the Lord comes in and sets up house within. It's done. But the thing is there is that thing of sanctification, being set apart more. There are those that believe that sanctification is a progression to perfection. Well, we know in this flesh we're never going to be perfect, because this old flesh is sinful and wicked and is not saved. The old mind and the old body, the old man, as we refer to it, the Scripture refers to it, is not saved. But we do grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, don't we? We do grow. we do learn more and then take it and apply it on our lives. We do submit more. You know, we have in this time, and I guess it's probably been in all times, but there are brethren that I know of that don't believe in progressive sanctification. They don't believe in a growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. They just believe you're saved, you got the Spirit, that's it. Well, to be filled with the Spirit, that reference there is not talking about having more of the Spirit within us, but I think mortifying the flesh and the will of the old man, taking and pushing that down, that we might be more submissive to the Spirit that is within. See, the Spirit within us, there's a couple of rabbits here. Is the Spirit within us, the Spirit of God within us, is it infantile or is it mature? I say it, he. The Spirit of God is mature always. He is who he is. Who's infantile? You and I. We've got to grow up in the Lord. And so, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. Or I'm sorry, verse 5. The same bringeth forth much fruit, those that abide, verse 5, in the Lord, for without me you can do nothing. And so we need to avail ourselves to the Spirit of God within through his word, to the mortifying of the flesh, a renewed mind, Romans chapter 10, a transformation to be more like Christ Jesus and less like Jim Duke, that we might bring forth, I might bring, you would say your name in that, much fruit, because without him we can't do a thing. Without him we can do nothing. And so there's a growing. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, is cast forth as a branch. So we got to bring that picture back. That pruning, that dead branch, and is withered. Why? It's not attached to the vine anymore. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So this picture of the vine and the branches, I think, is it's not talking about the church. It's not talking about the family of God. It's talking about mankind. Anybody that's alive is only alive because of Christ, saved or unsaved. And the saved bring forth fruit to the honor and glory of the husbandman. But branches that don't bring fruit, when the husbandman says the time is up, they're gathered together and they are burned. They are burned. If ye abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you. So now we're back to that word again. Not just knowing, being able to memorize scriptures, which is good. It's good to have the word of God within us. But we need to know the word of God and it being abiding in us. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. As a practical example, how do I join the church? Just come on in and start participating. And we'll take you in. Well, that's not abiding in the words, is it? And just as an example. I've got an opportunity to cheat on my taxes. Well, should I cheat on my taxes? No, the Lord doesn't want me to be a thief. Take that word and apply it here. I want to make this change. I want to make this pursuit. I want to do this thing. What should I do? What's the word of God say? We need to take it. Should I buy this? Should I go do this? If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. So there are those things that are spelled out in the scripture, but you know what? Well, we run into a lot of things that just isn't defined in the scripture, and we need to know personal leadership for self in this time and in this moment about what to do. So what do we have? Figure it out. do what makes sense. It'll all be okay. No, we have to be able to go to the Lord and say, Lord, show me. Show me. So that's living in the Lord. And you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. And so now it's just made unquestionably clear that the fruit bearing is honoring and glorifying to the husbandman. That's our calling, is to glorify our God, our Father, our Savior, and our Lord. It's not about how we live life for ourselves, but how we live it for Him in every respect. It's not a compartmentalized kind of thing. This part of my life is God's. This part of my life is mine. No, all of it is the Lord's. Every bit of it is the Lord. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Are you saved? Claim to be a Christian? Claim to be a child of God? Does the world know that about you and me? Can they tell that by our conversation, what we say and what we do? Can they tell by the fruit that we produce? Is glorification of our Lord just a personal, private thing? Or is it a public thing? Well, here in our church, we've got families, parents with children. Sometimes other children, grandchildren come and visit. And by similarities in the way we look, it's known that they are our children or our grandchildren. Or they come in with us and they're connected. They sit with us. Does the world know that we belong to the Lord? That we live in Him and He lives in us? Do we look like Him, sound like Him, operate under His directive from His Word? Now, I told you here some time ago, I guess it was at Sister Bessie May's funeral, and I don't mean this mean in any way. Not at all, not one bit. But may the Lord help us all, that our friends and our families not find out that there were the Lord's when I preach your funeral. That would be sad, wouldn't it? They need to know that we abide in Christ now as we live. And that be our testimony indeed. Verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. And what a love. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. We've departed from the picture of the vine and the branches and the fruit, and the Lord's got down to right where the rubber meets the road. He's using the direct words. He's using the direct things that are involved here. He says, I love you, and you need to continue in my love for you. I've commanded you some things, and you need to keep them, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. That's how I abide in the love of my Father, as I obey Him. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Jesus has the joy that we need. The joy of obedience. The joy on our part, He gives us the joy of rescue and salvation. Of belonging, when we did not belong, but were estranged from God because of our sins. He's got the joy, He's got eternal joy, and He says, these things have I spoken unto you, all these previous verses, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So now, not only introspection about the fruit that we bear, but the fruit that we bear unto one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. No greater love. And it's agape love. It's love with legs on it. Love unto action. Love unto action, that our Lord has done such for us, and our love is to be the same toward Him and toward one another. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So now it's not, if you suffer it, he's not beating around the bush anymore, is he? He's getting right down to it. I love you, and the Father, I love the Father loves me, and that love is shown by me obeying Him, and I want you to know the love that I have for you. You need to have it one for another, and your love is proven by you obeying what I have said, what I have given you. It is shown. That fruit is manifested that way. He speaks specifically unto them, henceforth I call you not servants. And we don't deserve anything, but it would be enough to be a servant of the Lord. Henceforth, going forward, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. He's just there to receive the instructions and do whatever needs to be done at the direction of the master. But I've called you my friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Our whole service and walk with the Lord is not just do this, don't do this, sit down, shut up, I'll take care of everything, and no idea what the picture is. But not only has the Lord given us commandment, He's shown what He has done for us. He's shown us how we're to go forward and operate. He gives us that blessing and avenue of prayer to find out particulars that aren't spelled out in the Word of God. And He tells us where it's all going. He doesn't hold anything back. He's made it known unto us. And this, along the line of what our brother read this morning and where it's heading, ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. So not only that, not only is that we have been saved, we have been redeemed, our sins have been paid for, but we have been chosen by the Lord for such a thing. And in particular, the apostles ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. We're back on the vine and the branch thing. That your fruit should remain. Now, it's one thing to bear fruit, and we should, but fruit that'll stick. A fruit of a testimony and service and work for the Lord's case, for the Lord and the Lord's calling that would last, that would go beyond our physical years. A vision for the future. You know, we've been praying that the Lord would bless, that the church would be here. If it be that the Lord come back beyond the time of our lives, that He would help us to do what we should do to His honor and His glory, that the church would be here beyond us. That your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So the vine and the branches, the fruit that we are to bear, are living not for self, but living in the Lord, having His word in us to apply it to every whit of life. Our love manifested, our love, His love returned unto Him. As the scripture says, you know it, we love Him because He first loved us. And well, we should. It's the duty of man to love God. And being saved, we've been made to where we can. The unsaved cannot. Keep his commandments as Jesus kept the Father's commandments. And have a vision for fruit that'll remain. To love one another. To love sinners. And to know that our Lord has made us his children and calls us friends. We have in this book about what the future holds, what our mission is. And we have been chosen to this work. And may we love one another as we go. And manifest the love of God in that, that he has had for us. We can go a long, long way on that, can't we? And may the Lord help us that we would. We're the branches and he's the vine. May we abide in him.